Verse 47 read this way. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our world today, reading the newspapers, listening to the talking heads, whether they're mainstream, social media, cable, it's a little wonder why people are skeptical about meeting new people. No doubt Jesus could have given in to the temptation to doubt people's motives. Yet he maintained an upbeat attitude towards every person he met. I remember when I moved home after college until I could find my own apartment. I had long hair and a big bushy beard. For months, my dad didn't acknowledge me, didn't say a word, didn't speak to me, didn't look at me. Finally, one day, I came out to breakfast with cut hair and a shaved face, and I was greeted with a big smile and a big hug. My son is home. Interesting. Jesus looked at people's potential because he knew they were made in the image of his heavenly Father. He loved people. He loved for people and helped him look for the best quality in people, regardless of their background or how they looked. In our meditation this morning, I'd like to explore 8 truths we can learn from Jesus that will challenge how we view the people around us. These truths will help improve relationships by choosing to look for the good in every person. Truth 1. Jesus knew how to focus on people's strengths rather than their weaknesses. Jesus was an expert in human psychology. He knew that people are more open to someone who recognizes and acknowledges their strengths rather than their deficiencies. When Jesus first saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." The Lord knew how to begin any relationship with a positive impression that would remain a firm foundation for a lifetime. Truth 2. Jesus saw in people what they could become rather than what they were not. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The world around us is quick, very quick, to point out human failure. The Lord wanted everyone to reach their maximum potential. He longed for people to be filled with the fullness of his power, to be filled with his wisdom and with his truth. Truth 3. Jesus presumed that every person wanted real answers to their questions. After the disciples participated in the feeding of the 5,000, they asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" I have to read that a second time because it's a hard sentence. What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." The Lord knew that the disciples really wanted a straight answer that could guide them in their planning, that could guide them in their attitudes and their actions. Jesus taught the disciples that by growing in their faith through obedience, they really would please God. This response might have surprised those who were looking for a list of another 10 commandments. Even today, we live in a world where I want to lose weight by taking a pill. I want my hamburger my way. I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. Jesus knew, he knew, that life's most difficult tasks along the journey of faith involve a working out of our spiritual love and commitment. Truth four. If the first three weren't tough, this one is. Jesus refused to harbor any grudges. Oh, how we humans love to hold on to a grudge against someone else. But the Lord taught that people, you and me, are poisoned by their own resentments, poisoned by biases and hostilities. For this reason, when Peter asked Jesus, "How many times should I forgive my brother? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven." In other words, so many times one can't even remember. It's not normal. It's not our normal or natural response when we believe we are the injured party. We carry it in our heart and keep pulling the injury out to beat that person over the head. We all carry resentments and biases and hostilities in our life. The same father I grew up with, I was angry with for many years. It took years for me to appreciate this truth and forgive my father. But once I did, we improved our relationship. I regret that I was stubborn and held on to my anger, my hostility. I wish I had learned this truth sooner. So many years lost. Today, if you carry resentments, biases, hostilities, don't wait. Ask the Lord for supernatural help to forgive members of your family, your spouse or significant other in your life, close friends, or even those maybe you work with. Unless you give up your grievance to the Lord, the grievance will function as a wedge and continue to do damage. Truth five. Jesus knew that people continue to harbor grudges against us, but we must still try to be reconciled with them. Jesus said, "If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. Just between the two of you. If he will not listen, take one or two others along. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector." We must be willing to work towards reconciliation. If we are willing to fulfill our responsibility of initiating reconciliation with any offender or the offended friend, we're exonerated from our fault. I pondered that deeply, and I wondered, oh, I should have the patience of my Lord, who works tirelessly to reconcile me with him and forgive me. Truth six. Jesus gave generous compliments to people as a way of building up their self-esteem. Jesus said, "Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist." The Lord wanted everyone to admire John the Baptist for his faith, for his courage and focused commitment to preparing a way for Christ's ministry. By publicly expressing commendation, affirmation, approval for others, we are following in the steps of the Lord. Truth seven. Jesus stood up for the disciples when they were being wrongly accused. One day the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." They were picking grains and eating them. And Jesus said, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord had a firm but kind way of asserting his rights and privileges bestowed on those who were his companions in the ministry. And finally, truth 8. Christ's great Sermon on the Mount began with the words, blessed are you. The Lord knew that everyone has a hunger for supernatural blessings, for benefits and empowerments. Everyone in the crowd must have strained to hear the word Jesus spoke that day because of the affirming way that he prefaced each truth. I could summarize this way. Blessed are you when you treat people with goodness, than with condemnation. Blessed are you when you preserve the best that each person can be in the Lord. Blessed are you when you pray to God for the ability to presume the best in every person, every situation, every cause and circumstance. When you ask our Heavenly Father, he will direct your path and teach you to see things in others that are invisible to most. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.